the musicians and the singers and the saints of praise that are praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This is a great day. Amen. And we'll try to be concise is what I want to say. I don't want to say necessarily quick, but we will be concise with the message that God has given for today, because we know bad weather is supposed to be coming.
Amen.
But you know what? There's some worse weather than that coming that people need to get ready for. There's going to be some terrible weather coming, which is even worse than this. They think this is bad. Wait till you show up on God's doorstep without being covered with the blood of Jesus. You think this is bad. You think the storm is something now. Wait until you show up on God's doorstep without the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we do have a word from the Lord to get us moving into the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a few brief verses that are going to come from the Old and New Testament,
mm-hmm.
from the King James translation. So you may, if you like, stand with me and read a few verses, and we will give you a thought to get you started.
Right.
Last year we were talking about the whole year. The theme was a year without fear, and we hope that you who were here we're able to benefit from that. Doesn't mean we won't go through fear. It just teaches us how to cope with fear. Amen. So this year we're going to talk about these words here. We'll start off with Ezekiel chapter 18 in the first four verses. And this is from the KJV. And it reads like this. Read with me if you would. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All right, we've read selected verses from the Old Covenant, the book of Ezekiel. Now we're going to look into the New Testament. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, just a few verses, read with me. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. We have read 1 Peter 2, 9 to 11 from the KJV. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we want to use for a topic to get you started this year, developing the beauty of the soul. Developing the beauty of the soul. And let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for being our God. Father, we thank you that you have all power and can do anything but fail. Father, we thank you that you have shown that you are a strong tower to those who trust you. And Father, we ask today that anybody here who has not seen you as a strong tower, that the righteous might run in and be safe, that they would see you that way today and all through this year, Father. You are our protection. You are our covering. You are our shield. You are our buckler. Father, we thank you for being God all by yourself.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Father, that even when others are weak, that you are strong. And so today, Lord God, we ask for strong power from your Spirit to speak a word that might bless your children today, God. And we thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here. And we ask this, all these blessings in the name of Jesus. Give us ears to hear and a heart to understand what the Spirit saith to the churches. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And the church said together,
amen,
amen, amen. So I want to talk with you today about developing the beauty of the soul.
Yes.
Some misunderstanding comes when we begin to discuss the soul, because so many times people misunderstand the soul. What is the soul and how do we talk about the soul? We even have music we call soul music these days, and folk want to talk about, they got a car called the Kia Soul, and the word soul is just thrown around out there in the world. And so, but from a spiritual biblical sense, what do we mean when we're talking about the soul? Okay, and I just want to help you understand this today because I've been meditating on it and I have gotten some revelation from the Spirit of God about the soul. And even verses in the Bible sometimes, for example, 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's 23, Paul says, may God sanctify you wholly or entirely, body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
Wow, isn't that what he says? Yeah. He said, wow, body, soul, and spirit, okay.
Amen.
We understand the body pretty well because that's the visible part of a human being.
Amen.
When we start to discuss the invisible parts of the human being, we have a little less understanding.
Mm-hmm.
What is that soul and that spirit that we have but we don't quite understand since they are invisible?
Mm-hmm.
Now keep this in mind, God wanted you to have a capacity to understand and appreciate the invisible because he put many invisible things in your life all around you.
Yeah.
And most of them we kind of accept, we may not necessarily understand why the room is filled with oxygen, nitrogen, and all kinds of stuff, but we don't see it, but it's here. We accept it, it's invisible.
Yeah.
We hear music come through the air and it makes us want to shake and move and all that, lift up our voice, but we never seen any, so we kind of understand music. And there's so many other invisible things. We could talk literally for hours about gravity and magnetism and all kinds of stuff you believe in that you have never seen, and we don't fully understand it, but we get a grip on that and we accept it.
Amen.
So when we start talking about a human being and we discuss things like the body and the soul, the body we understand, the soul we understand less, and the spirit maybe even less.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean there's a soul and a spirit in this body? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do we understand that and how do we develop those things, the soul and the spirit? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 will help us a little. It says there that the word of God is quick and powerful,
yeah,
or living and active, some translations say, sharper than any two-edged sword,
yeah,
and it's dividing asunder soul and spirit,
yeah,
and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so now we introduce that idea and we find out God's word helps us separate the soul and the spirit.
Amen.
And that's there in Hebrews 4:12. That's not on your paper, so just make a note if you want to look at this later.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I got to thinking about is how can we beautify the soul? I want you to know that you are a triune being. That's what the first thing I want you to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You have a soul, and you are a soul, let me say, and you have a spirit, and you live in a body.
Amen.
The body is a container for the soul and the spirit.
Amen.
The body does what it does because of the soul and the spirit.
Amen.
Whatever the body does, it's doing it because of the soul,
yeah,
and the spirit.
Amen.
Now the spirit is a little bit more what I like to say static. In other words, it exists there and you have that, but the soul can be developed. And so that's what we want to talk about. The soul is the part of you that makes decisions about what the body does.
Amen.
The soul says, I understand this, and I activate the body to do this.
Amen.
The soul is the part of you which is made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, God is triune. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit.
Amen.
We understand God the Son because he was physical. That was the body.
Right.
That's why it said in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh,
yeah,
and dwelt among us. What Word? That Word that was with God in the beginning. John said in John 1:1 in his prologue. He said, in the beginning was the Word. Now, think about this. Words are also invisible.
Yes, they are.
In the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. What does that mean? That means the Word has power to create. And that was God, the Father, who spoke and things came into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Theologians call that ex nihilo, out of nothing. When God spoke, things that didn't exist came into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he made Adam, remember that? And he made man, he said, let us make man, Genesis 1:26, in our own image and after our own likeness. Now, was that a physical image and likeness? The answer really is no. Because
no.
God cannot be seen. No man has seen God at any time. So this God is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this is what I want you to see. So what did God do? He took the dust of the earth,
mm-hmm,
and he formed it into the fashion of a man and breathed into his nostrils,
right,
the breath of life. And then it said he became what?
A living
soul.
Yeah.
So when the spirit attached to the physical, a soul was given to that person.
Amen.
Now I'm going to take you a little deeper in this thought. I knew this was a deep thought. I want to put some thoughts in your mind that are going to help you develop the beauty of your soul. Because what I want you to see is when he breathed into Adam's nostrils, that was when the spiritual came into connection with the physical. And he became flesh. And he became a living soul. See? And now the soul has charge over the body. It is the soul that tells the body what to do. And the spirit is there in the body, and they were one at one time. I think they were closely connected in the beginning. And I say that because God is a spirit, the Bible says, right? In John chapter 4. And they who worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So the spirit is truth, it says later on. Jesus even said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And see, so as long as we remain in the truth with the soul and the spirit in the body, then we are holy. That's what holy is when the body is filled with the truth, is filled with the presence of God, and the soul is obedient to God.
Amen.
And that is beautiful. That's why the psalmist said, let us worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness, in the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
You see that? So when we obey God and walk by the truth, our spirit and our soul are aligned up with God. And so this is something that we have some control over. So therefore, it's something that we can develop. Now let's take a look here. I just said that. It's kind of a quick crash course in body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes you see somebody will come in and their countenance doesn't look very good, or they look mean, and you say, well, he has an evil spirit. You know, you wonder why you're looking so mean. What are you so upset about? I always ask the question, why is it that some Christians' face don't know that they saved? Because you see folks saved and they looking like sad sack. Like, well, what you looking like sad sack for? And God has blessed you with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You ought to be a happy camper. It doesn't mean you don't ever have ups and downs. But it's a good thing to know that you're saved and to shine and beam for God. See, and you can develop that. You have control over what your mind dwells on. You don't have to go to a dark place and dwell. See, and what the devil did, I just want to stick him in here for a minute. When the soul and the body were perfect and united and joined together, the devil comes in with a bad word, an evil word. And he says, has God really said what he does? Question what God said. Did God really mean that about that tree over there? And he tunes you right in on the thing you need to leave alone. Because God said don't eat it. And so the devil always will attract you to the thing that is set to destroy you. Or to break up your relationship with God. To develop you in a negative way and take you away from what God said.
That's right.
But it's your responsibility as a Christian. You've been given power over the curse, which is what came upon Adam. He got cursed. God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, Adam. And the whole creation was cursed because of the sin of Adam. And the soul and the spirit basically started to be a little bit divided at that point. They were not like they were before when all holy was in them. And God created them in innocence, as we say. Call that the dispensation of innocence, when they were in the garden and without clothing and they were without sin.
Amen.
And so what I want you to see here, and I can't put a lot in this because I want to keep it kind of brief, is that your soul belongs to God. Now let's talk about one more thing here before we look at our notes and our message. God gave us the ability to, and we call it this, procreate. We procreate, that means we have children. You and I can mate with someone and produce another soul. God provides the soul when you provide the physical parts, the part that the man provides and the part that the woman provides.
Amen.
So there's procreation, because every time we do that and we have an offspring, that person is born in the flesh. God provides a soul.
Right.
See, and they get flesh from the parents. And they get soul and spirit come from God. God provides a soul. That's why everyone in here has been provided a soul by God.
Yeah.
Now you are the steward of your soul.
Yeah.
Some people, when they say, people who defy God say, oh, I'm the captain of my own soul. They don't want to have God to guide them and lead them through life. Other people say, I want to submit my soul to the Lord. Bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's the position of the worshiper who wants to turn his soul toward God in obedience. Now, notice this as we look here. I'm going to take you, you'll see where I'm going in just a minute here. Ezekiel 18 and 1, the word of the Lord that came to me again. This is another time that Ezekiel received a direct word, which is a spiritual thing from God. He was a mediator. Ezekiel was a priest. He was also a prophet. He has two offices, prophet and priest, just like some other people. We won't go into all that. That's another lesson. But in either case, we see here, Jesus, let me just mention it since I let the cat out the bag. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. So he has a threefold office. David was a king and a prophet, but he was not a priest. So we got some other people who are in multiple offices, but nobody is prophet, priest, and king except Jesus. That's called the munis triplex. He has three offices, all of them, and that makes him the Most High, the Son of God, the Anointed One. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king. Amen. So looking at Ezekiel, he says, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what mean ye that use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, this is the proverb, understand what this is, and you probably have read this, and I hope to help you understand it a little this morning. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Wow, that's a deep thing. We don't understand that much today. The sour grapes means you're out of the land where God blessed the land. Now you're in a land that produces, instead of good sweet grapes full of juice, you're in a place where the grapes are sour and they're nasty. Okay, and now the children that you have when you procreate are suffered to have to eat the sour grapes because you didn't do right and you got put out of the blessed land. So it's a proverb there. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, so we're blaming you. It's the same thing we get today when people say, well, I'm so messed up because my mother did so and so when I was a baby. We blame it on my mother. Or we blame it on my father. He was not there and therefore I'm whack. Well, God doesn't buy that. Because every generation you get a fresh new soul. And notice what God goes on to say. As I live, saith the Lord, verse 3, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. You won't ever say that again, is what God's saying. Behold, this is why all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. See that? God says, I'm the one who owns the soul. I don't care who it was. Amen. The father, the son, the mother, whoever you name. Amen. The soul belonged to me. I supplied the soul. Amen. You see that? Amen. I'm giving you a soul. God has given each one of us a soul. Amen. We ought to be happy. I got a soul from the Lord. We ought to be happy. He gave you a soul. Amen. And notice what he says. It's the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the one that's in trouble. Is the one who does not obey God. I can't blame it on my father and say it's because of him that I'm whacked. You know, any of that. So I have to take responsibility myself. David got that message. Remember in Psalms 51, David said, behold, I was born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. In other words, they did the best they could being sinful souls to raise me, but I was already in trouble when I was born because sin passed on to me. And that's true of every person since Adam. That curse of sin has been passed on to everyone. But he said to the Lord when he was in a repentance mode, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He took responsibility. He'd say, I'm blaming my mother and father. I know it's true. That's why my disposition is a little whacked. But the fact is, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. That's what David said. He owned up to it himself because he understood this principle in Ezekiel that all souls are mine. And it's the soul that sinneth that shall die. So death is the penalty for sin. Like Paul told us, what the wages for sin is death. but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want you to understand what you have here. You have a soul, and you can develop that soul in beauty. You don't have to allow your soul to go in a negative direction. You are a triunity, just like God is a triunity, because he decided to create us in his own image. And so look at this now. I want you to understand that the triune reality of the existence of every human being is based on the fact that God chose to make us in his own image and gave us the freedom of moral choice. You and I have the freedom of moral choice so that we can love him as an act of choice and not under compulsion. He's not making you love him. He gives you the ability to love him, and he hopes that you will love him. He loves you anyway, no matter whether you love him or not. So that a love relationship we can have toward him, and it's real, it's not false, because you have to choose it. If you don't choose to love God, then there won't be a relationship. God gives you the freedom to say, I will not worship you. See, so if you want your soul to be beautified and benefited from God, you'll be like David. Acknowledge the shortcoming of my soul. But turn it back over to the one who is perfect.
Yeah.
You made me in your image, Lord. Mm-hmm. That's why the Bible says this. Now, you're going to really love this. I hope this hits you real hard, because it hit me when I was thinking about it. That's why Jesus said, except a man what be born again.
Amen.
He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
For that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Amen.
Marvel not that I said unto thee. Don't let this blow your mind, you spiritual teachers of Israel, Nicodemus, you're supposed to be so sharp in the word. Why don't you know this? You must be born again. God is going to give you the untainted soul. It's not that you get a new soul, you're actually born of the Spirit. But the Spirit is there to bear witness with your spirit. That's what it says, right? The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. The soul is still free. That's what I want you to know. God wants you to know your soul is still free. What did I do? You were born again. I gave you my spirit. I give you my word. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John 6:63, right? He said, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's speaking into your life. The Spirit of God is in you. He's giving you that. That's what it means to be born again.
Amen.
And he's speaking truth into your life.
Amen.
And the soul is still free. You can choose to glorify God and obey God, or you can turn around and walk away from God. But Ezekiel reminds us, the soul that sinneth. That sinneth, and that's why I use the King James, that ETH ending means continually sins. Sins continuously. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. So God wants you to choose the right thing. I have caused you to be born again of my spirit. My spirit is there to testify to your spirit that what you're hearing is true. And now your soul, that's up to you. Your soul is what you decide to do. And you can choose to do right, or you can walk away. You can try to do like these folks did back here in Ezekiel. Well, it's my father's fault. They ate sour grapes and now I'm all jacked up.
They fault.
Blame the father. Blame the mother. I hear it on TV all the time. On some of these ridiculous shows that are on there. Well, if my mama had dropped me on my head when I was a baby, well, I would be all right. Now, no, you got to make a choice now to trust God.
Amen.
Hear God's word.
Yeah.
Walk by faith, even if you don't see it. God said it. Walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
If it looks bad, like I'm not going to be able to do this, what you said, God, have faith to walk anyway and do what thus saith the Lord. Let your soul choose to obey God. And watch and see, won't God bless you? He's blessing you right now. And he said, all souls are mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Okay? And so this is where I want you to get here. The state of the human soul is the state of the result of all the choices we have made, and therefore all the consequences that occurred as a result of our choices. Therefore, the things which we choose are the determining factor of who we really love, either ourselves or God.
Amen.
If you choose to do what God says, I'm saying I love you. You know what? Jesus didn't say this. He didn't say, if you love me, let me see you cry every time you do something wrong. No. You know what he said? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Wow. That's a revelation, isn't it? I'm not going to lie because God doesn't want me to lie. I'm keeping his commandments. See, I'm not going to steal because God does not want me to steal.
Amen.
He does not want me. And by my own personal will, I submit my soul to obedience to what he said. So that's the problem with a lot of the stuff we hear in the church that people call gospel, is that it doesn't get down to the soul. What is your soul choosing to do? Are you choosing to obey God or reject him?
That's it.
See, and you can do one or the other. That's all you can do. There's nowhere to be in between. That's why Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me.
That's right.
He who does not gather with me scattereth abroad. Matthew 12:30. Mm-hmm. See, so the state of the human soul is the state of the result of all the choices that we have made, and therefore all the consequences. Because choices, you know what, you can choose, but you can't determine the consequences.
That's right. Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
I can say, oh, I'm going to go jump off that bridge. Yeah, you can make that decision, but now gravity is going to take over in the water, and you got a bad situation that you won't be able to handle. You can make the choice.
Amen.
Yeah, you're free to make the choice, but you're not free to control the consequences.
Right.
Can't take it back once it's done.
Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So you want to choose God, obey him.
That's right.
And when you don't, God said, this is what you do when you don't. If we confess our sin, right, he is faithful and just. So this is all about relationship. Mm-hmm. How is my soul being developed to beautify and glorify God?
Yes, it is.
See, it's all about relationship. Mm-hmm. And God made it so that he knew that we wouldn't be able to do it on our own. So he gives you his spirit. Mm-hmm. His spirit is not there to make you do things.
No.
The spirit is there to lead and guide you to all truth. Where is the truth? In his word.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Holy Spirit will lead you into his word to, and make you understand the word you never understood. Boy, I never understood that before.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you got it, if you find trouble breaking away, this is the problem. The body gets accustomed to doing the wrong thing.
Right.
And it gets stuck on it many times.
Mm-hmm.
It gets bad habits and they're hard to break.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God said if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. He lets you know, even if you break it, come and keep confessing it. To confess means to agree with me about it.
Yes, amen.
If God says it's sin, I say it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
Confess the word homologeo in the Greek means to say the same thing.
Say the same thing.
So if God says it's a sin, I say it's a sin. Even if I'm stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
I can be stuck in it, but I don't approve of it.
That's right.
That's why you have that conflict in Romans 7. If we had time, I would take you there. But Paul said, the very things I would, I do not. And that which I would do, I don't. And he said, but I joyfully concur with the law of God after the inner man. In other words, my mind is in full agreement with what God said. And I know it's right in my soul. He said, but I find another principle warring in my mind against the law of, which is the law of sin that is in my members.
My.
So there is a war going on. If you don't think it's a war and you don't believe there's a war, you're going to lose. Because
right,
the enemy is going to trample you down. It's not that you can really lose if you're in Christ. But I'm talking about individual battles, not overall
right,
losing. See? But there is a battle. You better gird up. That's why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because the devil is constantly trying to get you to disobey God. He's trying to get you to yield your soul to his way. The flesh is another enemy. That's the body that holds all this dynamic that we're talking about. The body wants to feel something or hear something or have people perceive me a certain way. Some things are perceptual. I want you to think I'm all that in a bag of chips.
Amen.
And we get proud and arrogant walking around and we won't tell the truth because I want you to think something about me.
Mm-hmm.
See, the way you perceive me. And people get messed up. Think about this now. Some of the young folks are messed up over stuff somebody said on the internet about me.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't true of you. If it's not so, don't let that destroy your apple cart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not true. It's just some stuff somebody said. What did God say? Measure yourself with the right measuring stick.
Amen.
See? So look at what Peter said, and we're done. I'm going to be done. I just want to put these thoughts in your mind to help you get started this year. Now, Peter says this, he's writing to the Jews that are scattered abroad and also to the Gentiles. It took him a while to come around to the fact that God was saving both Jews and Gentiles. It didn't stop God from using him as an apostle. But when he used him as an apostle on the day of Pentecost, Peter was there preaching to mostly all Jews. But there were some proselytes and other people who came from other countries, from every nation under heaven. By the time you get to Acts 10, he is having a dream about a sheep dropping down from heaven by the four corners, and it opens up and it's full of unclean animals. He's been the apostle all the way since Pentecost, and now he still doesn't believe that God can bless Gentiles. Wow, had an issue, didn't he? So God showed him that sheep and he said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Unclean animals of every sort. Coming out of there, Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, I'd never eat anything unclean." Wow. That's a blast from the past. You never eat anything unclean? That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
And he told him, "Who are you, Peter, to call unclean that which I have cleansed? How did you get to be above me?" A lot of times we get on a pedestal. And he told him, some Gentiles are going to knock on your door in just a minute. When they come, you go with them. If he hadn't prepared him, he wouldn't go. A few minutes later, Gentiles at the door. Peter would tell him, "Get away, you unclean scavengers. Go east." Instead, he went with them, went down to Cornelius, the Italian's house in Acts 10. That's where we are now. And when he got there, there was a whole room full of all kind of folk. And he preached the gospel, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they were born again. And he said, "Wow, boy, that's amazing. All of these are Gentiles." But God had to get him and convince him that the gospel is for the world, Peter, not just for the Jews. See, and so you can be in service to God. This is what I want you to take away on that. And still have a little something not right about your soul, because you're not fully in submission to the plan and the purpose of God as he has stated it in his word.
Amen.
So you want to, in order to develop the beauty of your soul, get in the word and believe God. Walk by faith and not by sight. You got to go by what God said by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And so Peter goes on here. He says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Look what God says about you. "And holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's a way of saying God gives you insight into the truth. And the truth is going to make you free, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, right?
Yes, it is.
"Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So the truth is what really motivates me and you to be free. And it develops a beautiful part of our soul, because we begin to abandon the world, we abandon the devil, we abandon the flesh, we walk by truth and walk by faith. So Peter goes on to say, "Now you're in the light, you were in the darkness," there in verse 9. Verse 10, "which in time past you were not a people." God had no promise to Gentiles back at that time. "But are now the people of God." You've changed camps. "Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Now he says, that's who you are. Your status has changed. God says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation, and a peculiar people. And he's brought you out of darkness, where you don't know what's right, into his marvelous light, where you do. He says, but notice verse 11 as we prepare to close. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you," that means I beg with you, I plead with you, "as strangers and pilgrims," because you're going to be an odd person here among folks who don't believe God. "Abstain," that means stop.
Yes.
Don't do it. Stop doing it.
Yes.
"Put it in check from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul See that?
Right.
The fleshly stuff wars against the soul. You better know it's a war going on.
Yes.
If you don't have yourself girded up for the war, you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the Holy Bible, which I said, this is what Peter says, but the Holy Bible, and therefore Peter, says that because of the tremendous love that God has shown us, making us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people of God, receivers of mercy, qualified singers of praises to God,
mm-hmm.
see that, who have been called out of darkness to walk in holy light.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's a choice you have to make to develop your soul and make your soul beautiful.
Amen.
So we can worship the Lord in the beauties of holiness.
Yeah.
See? So it's about choices that you have to make. So I hope today this message helped put some things together for you. There's some more components to it, and we'll talk about them as the year draws on. But I want to make sure you understand about the soul. The soul is very important. Your soul is you. It's the part of you that's constantly deciding what you do. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, emotions a lot of times knock you off your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get swept up in some emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
See, but we have to allow truth to override emotion.
Yeah. Okay.
Eventually, if we continue on this walk, we will get more like Christ
mm-hmm.
and less like we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's been happening to me for some time. I'm still not perfect, but I'm on the right track. So who wrote that song understood that. I'm on the right road now. I fixed it up with Jesus and I'm on the right road. I'm moving in the right direction. But you have to yield. Paul said this, to whoever you yield your members to obey, that's who servants you are. That's what he's saying, right? So it's all about yielding yourself to the word, to the truth. And God will give you the ability to do that. Let's have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we have heard about the soul, Lord. You said our soul is yours. All souls are yours. The soul descendants shall die. Father, we want to be the souls that obey you, that walk in your truth, that receive your benefits. We know we've already received the greatest benefit of all, those who are trusting in Jesus, because he's the only one that can correct that difference and make us right, set us all at the status of perfect in your sight. A holy nation, a peculiar people who are called forth to sing praises to your name. Father, help us to acknowledge everything that is not like you in ourselves in this year, Father, and we are expecting to hear great stories of great victory, Lord God, from where we have been freed, set free into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And Father, help us to walk in faith, Lord God, and to shun the flesh. Gird us and protect us from the devil, O God, and any of his hosts or his people. Lord God, help us to be able to persevere even under stress in times of trouble, Lord God. We give you praise right now. We declare that you are our Lord. We trust only in the blood of Jesus and his resurrection. And Father, we ask you to give us that ability to say yes to the word and no to the flesh, no to the world, no to the devil. That we might grow in your grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, we bless you and we thank you for 2018. We ask special grace on those who couldn't be here with us today. And we pray you take this message even to the ends of the earth, as you have promised us to do, that we should do. You've given us that commission, Father, and we ask you to help us to get it out to many, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, church said together,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a praise. We do want to give an invitation to discipleship. If you happen to be here and you are not committed to the church, we want to give you that opportunity to do so right now. You can come just as you are. The Lord accepts anyone. He says, whosoever will, let him come. Amen. So it doesn't make any difference where you're at in the paradigm of your life, but God will accept you right where you are. And the only thing he wants you to do that you must do to be a part of it is trust and believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Believe that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved.
Yes.
For God so loved you. I'm going to put you right there because he loves the world. That means you.
Yes.
That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That shows you his hand. On his end, this one, another thing, I got to say this. I'm going to shut up. I'm trying to get out of here. God loves you so much.
Yes.
Look what he did.
Yes.
That was elaborate.
Yes, yes.
If you stayed spirit and you stayed way out there, wherever you are, that might have been more difficult for us to grasp. But he knew that.
Yes.
He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come take on a body just like theirs.
Yes. Yes.
They're going to discover that within the system that I designed them, I can just move into the flesh without getting any of Adam's sin.
Yes.
That's the way I made women when I designed them. Who would have knew that? Nobody knew that but God. That's why he said before any sin happened in Genesis back there, he gave one law. He said, that's enough to destroy mankind. One law.
Because
if they break that law, that's it. It's a done deal. But right after he gave the law, before they broke it, you know what he said? He said, it's not good that man should be alone. Wow, boy, that's deep. In the middle of paradise and perfection, there's something that's not good. So he said, what I'm going to do is make a helpmeet for Adam because he has no way to procreate himself. At the same time, he designed a woman so that he could also, when the fullness of time was come, become flesh without getting contaminated with Adam's sin. Oh, that's so deep.
Amen.
And he did that. Then he became flesh and dwelt among us. See, his word became flesh.
Yes.
Boy, that's awesome to me.
It is awesome.
Ooh, that's some deep stuff. Let's get out of here before the evil weather comes in. If you'd like to be a member and you have not submitted your membership to any church, perhaps you're already saved, we give you that opportunity at this time to come and be a member of St. Timothy MB Church. The door is open. Our founding pastor is Dr. Arthur Hamilton. And we're still here this many years, and he is seated with the Lord at this time, we're sure. Because we know what he believed and what he taught.
Yes.
And so if you would like to make this your church home, we'd like to invite you right now. Amen. I stand on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, as he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See that? All that's always there. And yield your soul to what I say, and you'll be okay. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there's room. Hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen.